A reading from Mark, chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance by the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man, dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. We almost didn't have Easter today. A few weeks ago, our church leadership, staff, and I had discussed not marking the resurrection today. It seemed too difficult and dissonant. We would do the other events of Holy Week, yet press pause on Easter until we could be back together in person. Then we would hold a grand celebration, and it could be the most glorious, embodied, together experience of resurrection. I couldn't imagine celebrating Easter in a time like this, when it feels like we're all still in the tomb. Yet the first Easter happened in a place of death unmistakable, of hopeless loss and despair. Mark tells us that the women who were the last at the crucifixion were the first at the tomb, early in the morning on the first day of the week. They had come to anoint the body of Jesus, a loving farewell act of devotion for their friend and leader. He had been arrested, publicly mocked, tortured and crucified, put to death in the most painful and humiliating way. Crucifixion was Rome's proof that the power of violence would be unchecked and could not be deterred, that death reigned supreme. This man who preached in such a compelling way of love for God, neighbor, and self was simply snuffed out by a brutal and indifferent foe. Death and the fear of death were top of mind for these women disciples, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, on their way to the tomb. In Mark's gospel, the account of what happens at the tomb is incredibly brief. Just a few verses that sketch out, rather than paint in living color, an unbelievable, a stunning reversal. The large gravestone there is rolled away, and a figure dressed in white announces that the crucified one is not there. He has been raised. But the women do not see Jesus at the tomb. They're given a message to bring back to the other disciples, but that's it. It's unimaginable to these faithful and devoted women that Christ was raised from the tomb. They saw what happened to him on the cross with their own eyes. And so Mark's gospel, the first recorded account of Jesus' life and death, finishes the entire gospel, all 16 chapters, with this scene. The ending verse, the women went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. That's it. There is nothing after this in the earliest versions of Mark's gospel. There could be no Easter here. Death and the tomb are too real. This ending to the gospel was so unsettling to early Christians that they actually wrote at least two alternate endings to suggest that the women did tell some people and that the risen Christ was seen. Because it feels too hopeless to finish in that first way, right? This original conclusion is a real downer, finishing on fear and silence from these women who had been otherwise loyal and steadfast all along. No wonder earlier Christians added a few verses after these ones. They felt compelled to tie up loose ends, to offer a happier ever after ending, and resolve things with a bright Easter bow and maybe some chocolate. But Mark's gospel, ending as he originally intended it, gives us something that other versions do not. It's honest to our experiences of the resurrection, especially in this time where all of us experience the looming, immobilizing fear of death and its daily progress in reports on the news. Like the women, we do not see with our own eyes the risen Jesus for ourselves. Resurrection feels impossible to imagine. Like the women, what we have to go on now is hearsay, handed down to us by our parents and tradition and disciples before us, all the way back to that first person at the tomb who told the women what to say. We likewise have overheard the testimony of others, but fright and shock may keep us from believing it could be true. It almost seemed wrong, as I said to me, to your pastor, to hold a service of Easter resurrection in these days where death is so dominant. How do we live without Christ visibly and bodily here when we can't be together with one another? How will we imagine Christ meeting us at the tombs of our times, leading the way to life again? Yet we're not totally without Jesus, even in Mark's brief hint at resurrection. The young man at the tomb shares a clue about where Jesus is headed next. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Galilee is what one commentator calls a regular, though silent, character in this gospel. Galilee is the place where it all began, where Jesus was baptized, where he first proclaimed that the kingdom of God was at hand, where he called and taught his disciples, and where he liberated people from sickness, restoring them to life instead. While the crucifixion happens in the influential ceremonial communal center of Jerusalem, Lamar Williamson points out that Galilee is the place from which the disciples and the women came, their home turf, their place of daily routine. Jesus has left the tomb in Jerusalem, and his resurrection is not marked in a church sanctuary today, but he has left us a forwarding address, Galilee. Galilee. Where is your Galilee on this Easter morning? Where are the everyday places that you have come from, that you find yourself in, including our own homes in these days of isolation? It is here to Galilees such as this that Christ has gone before, the angel says, promising to meet us here. As Gary Charles writes, the risen Lord awaits us not in an empty tomb or in some distant future or remote place. The risen Lord awaits us in Galilee, on our city streets, in the halls of our schools, in the wards of our hospitals, and behind the bars of our prisons. Want to find the risen Lord? Want to serve the risen Christ? Mark says, then go to Galilee. There is no sequel to Mark's gospel in the Bible because Jesus has left the pages of the book and walked into our very lives. The ending that we're looking for will be found among us in Galilee. I know that this Easter comes at a time when fear and death are ascendant. We hold our breath in alarm with each passing development in the news, with each report of this virus taking more lives, cruelly threatening worst, those who are poor, refugees, and people of color, those who have already been set up for death by the injustices of our society. We may be among those ourselves, far better acquainted with Golgotha than Galilee. Maybe we've been looking already around for Jesus in our days and aren't finding him the ways that we expected. Maybe we, like the disciple Peter on the night of betrayal, have decided that it's too risky to speak up or to take action, even when we recognize the invitation of Christ. Maybe we too have hunkered down in denial, withdrawal, and self-preservation. But if that's the space of looming despair or death where we find ourselves today, it's not where we're left at the end. The closing of Mark's earliest account says that the women at the tomb said nothing to anyone, but we know that's not true. Life overcoming in the face of death is such good news, however hard to believe in any given moment, that it cannot be contained forever by fear. Because the women did speak eventually, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't be here talking about it on Easter morning. We would be in the tombs of Good Friday forever. But the women broke their silence and told others the message, and disciples have been telling others this compelling truth down through the ages ever since. The good news of resurrection is not just a story we hear of something that happened once upon a time, but it's also a story which moves us to action in our own lives this day. If Mark's gospel is unfinished, it's because we are the end of the gospel. To experience the resurrected Christ, live now as he lived. Love as he loved, forgive as he forgave, and believe as he believed. And we will experience Jesus. This is what Easter is about, not being together in a building, but living the way of Christ each day, in every place that we find ourselves. So let us finish the story of resurrection in our own lives, meeting Christ in our Galilees. Finish the story by letting Christ's promise live in us. With God, life is stronger than death. Finish the story by forgiving enemies and letting old wounds heal. Finish the story by suffering with those who suffer, because the pain will not finally swallow us up. Finish the story by walking faithfully with loved ones into even death itself, trusting that goodbye is not forever. Finish the story with daily service to God in Galilee. sowing hope where despair rules, speaking consolation where desperation dwells, and breaking wide open all tombs. Finish the story in faithfulness to the risen Christ, and when we next gather in person, it will not be Easter on the calendar, but Easter in our lives. Praise to the risen Christ, and thanks be to God. Amen.